Two announcements just before we start with Waldy. The abundance table, when we set up, it was absolutely empty. Now it's absolutely abundant. So there is, it looks like there's garlic out there. There is zucchini. There's zucchini out there. There's beets out there. There's dill. So the abundance table, you just kind of walk out. Make sure that we hope that that table's empty at the end, okay? So make sure you grab some there and take it home. And what a great idea that Brian Brown had to have this abundance table, which is wonderful. So, and two more things. There is musings about a baseball game happening at church camp at some point. So be thinking about that, all you baseball players. I'm sure there's going to be some soccer had as well, because that was happening quite a lot during the church picnic. So there's going to be awesome opportunities for you. And in the next few weeks, I'll be gone. We're taking off on holidays. If there's an impending emergency, I don't have the greatest cell phone service, but you could text or call me. But if not, you can email Tracy, and then she can make sure that what information I would need at the time, you can get a hold of me. But also Lucas and Elliot will be here, as well as Wendy and our elders as well. Well, back and depends on when they're gone, but Jay and Trina. Great. Okay, Waldy and Louisa, I'm just going to hand it over to you. We're so thankful that you're here, that you reached out. We had coffee on Wednesday, and we chatted. We had lots to chat about. And then I was listening to what he had been preparing. I'm like, oh, please, this is exactly what our people need to hear, or not need to. It's what I need to hear. So, but I'll hand it over to you guys. So come on over.
Okay. Oh, it's yours. Hi. It's so nice to be here again. 7 years, I think, 7 years ago, right?
Actually, eight.
Eight?
2018.
Oh, wow. Okay. A long time ago, we were part of your church because we served with Multiply and also in your church for 3 months. And in that time, we didn't know this, but your church has a really impact in our life. And maybe I will just share some stories about what serving with your church has done with our lives and also with our ministry. So 8 years ago, we were part of your church and we were serving. And at first, one of the things that I really remember from your church is the kids program. I don't know who is responsible for your kids program, but whoever he or she is doing a really great job. Because 8 years ago, our son, he was just almost 3 years old, and he didn't understand any word because he's German, and with 3 years old, you can't speak English. But at the end of every kids program, he can tell me, this was the story about this, and the message of the kids program was this. Even though he doesn't understand anything, he could tell me what the program was about. And I was, okay, if I'm ever be responsible for a kids program, I want it to be so easy to understand the message that God loves you, that he just sent his son and you're loved by him. And now, just some years later, I'm responsible for the kids program at our church plant. And this is always something I remember. I always remember, okay, do it so easy that every child, that every adult who will also join the kids program will always understand what the message is. So whoever is he or she who's responsible for this, please tell her or they are doing a really good job. And also, 8 years ago, we were here in the front and we prayed together for Germany. And we had like two parts of Germany we were praying for. One is the Ruhrpott. I don't know if you're a fan of soccer, but maybe if you're a big fan, you know BVB Dortmund. It's the area close to Dortmund. And the other part of Germany we were praying for, it was East Germany. And East Germany is special, if you want to say it in a nice way, because in East Germany, people are normally non-believers. 90% of the people who are living in East Germany, they don't believe in anything. They are not Muslims, they are not Christian, they are not Hindus, 90%. That's like one of 10 persons is just a believer, and maybe he's not really a Christian. So that is the reality we have in East Germany. And we were praying together here for East Germany to that God will send people there to doing church plants. And I wasn't thinking, oh, maybe it will be us. No, I don't want to go to East Germany. It's not the most beautiful area in Germany. And some years later, actually, I think 1 or 2 years later, God were telling us, you should move to East Germany. And I was like, no, why have we prayed for East Germany? Now we have to go there. And actually, we are now in East Germany and doing church plant, and it's really good. So thank you for praying with us, because if we haven't prayed here, we won't be in East Germany. I'm really, and also a reminder, be careful what you're praying for, because maybe God is sending you. So this was us, and now we're doing church planting in East Germany, actually 5 years now, and we're really part of the community. I don't know if you heard about it, but 1.5 years ago, there was a big attack at a Christmas market in Germany, in Magdeburg. This is our city. Yeah. So this is where we are from. So I think, I always say, okay, it's really tragic, but now people know Magdeburg, our city. The city that we love, the city that God loves, and the city where we are doing a church plant. Okay. So I don't know which picture will come and what story I will tell, but we will see. Okay. Yeah. So 8 years ago, this was everything you need to just stay 3 months somewhere with two little babies and kids, and one of the luggage was just full with milk supply. So because I wasn't sure, oh, if our baby girl will drink the milk here, but she did. So this is everything you just need for the time. And we are so grateful for Erika and Harold. They just hosted us the time ago. And it was like, it was such a blessing, because I don't know how your babies were when you had babies, but our weren't really good sleepers. Most of the night they were awake. And Erika was such a blessing, because on the afternoons, she just sometimes took Gabriel, our big one, and just go for a stroll with him, and I could just sleep. And this was one of the best things that happened to me in Canada, just her going on a walk with our big one, so I can just sleep, and I'm so thankful. Yeah, and I'm also really happy that we will have lunch together today, so just to chat and see each other again. Yeah, and this is our little baby girl. She was almost 1 year old. Now she is 8. She will be 9 in October. So, and this was us. We were always in the back, like also today. And the kids were just crawling on the floor, and we just enjoyed your Sunday service. Genau. Okay, maybe the next. And this is the big church of Magdeburg. And I already told you, like, we prayed with you here for East Germany, and then God said, hey, you should go to East Germany, you should go to Magdeburg and plant a church. And it really took a lot of, I don't know how you are, but I'm really German, and really German means you worry a lot. Like, every day and about everything. Yeah? This is German. We have insurance for everything. Also, if you want to have insurance for your dog, for your car, for your fridge, for whatever, you can have it in Germany, because we are worrying. And that's me. And when God told us, okay, you have to go to East Germany, I was like, ah, God, but East Germany, it's really not known that people believe in God, and I want my children to have a community where they are encouraged to believe in God. And at a Sunday service, we were in another town, God spoke to me, and he told me, Luise, they are also my children, and I love them in a way you could never ever love your children. I will care for them. And now, whenever I'm worrying about something with the children, I always remember God promised me he will take care. He will take care in an area where none of their friends is a believer, like our daughter, she has no friends who believed in God. And our son, he actually have one friend who believes in God. And they will just learn Christianity in a different way. And it's okay, because it doesn't have to be in one right way. And so sometimes I always have to remember God is caring for my children in a way I couldn't. And this is one of the biggest learning I had, the whole church plant, stop worrying, stop being a German, be a Christian, rely on God. This is something that I learned. So yeah, but that's just the way it is. Okay, yeah, next.
Now you need to pray for me.
White Magdeburg, I already told you, most of the people are non-believers. We are also a big city. We are the capital of our provincial. It's not a big provincial like BC. BC is giant. And also there are some different culture. It's not so a cultural mix like here. But we really like something we really experience in Magdeburg. There are not many Christians, but the Christians from the different church, they have to work together. Because like this is a mega church in Magdeburg, okay? Just like when you are 20, 30 people, you're a really good church. You're a good size of a church. 100 people, I think we just have one or two churches who have 100 people. So that's maybe the way we are just doing there. Okay. And I think I'm done with telling stories.
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
I will go on.
So enjoy the sermon.
So Luisa is going to the kids just to translate the kids program a little bit. So in Magdeburg, you know, you need to know that we are our home city is Bielefeld. It's just a 2.5-hour drive from Bielefeld to Magdeburg, but the religious society is such different. So our sending church has around 1,100 members, you know, with 3 campuses, and that's sure also for our area a big church. So, but if you compare, so this is what I told our sending church, if you fit, we have one church fits 700 people or so. And I told every time when we, in the beginning, we're thinking of going to move to the city in Magdeburg, when you put all people together who attend a Sunday service in the whole city, they would fit in that room, around 500 to 1,000. Maximum of the whole city. And we are a city of 240,000 people. And we doing this discerning, if we should go, we sense that God shifted our heart from not question. The question was before, should we go, to should we stay? What are our reasons really to stay in our home city? And for sure there were a lot of good reasons. But it ended up that we moved to the city 5 years ago. So, and we, when we started to think about the church plant, we were really impacted by that verse from John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and dwells or lived amongst us. And this was our approach. So we have a team. So we moved actually in one neighborhood. That this is what was our approach. Very close, you can almost go by walk to our teammates. So this is just a few pictures that you can imagine. It's a very urban area. And this is our team. So we moved from 2-3 families and one single guy, and then another family joined us. And so we live very close to each other. Let me see how that works. So it's hard to translate, but it's ended up through that kind of approach that we call the church, you almost like church in the midst kind of thing, you know, really close, living in our community. So we rented kind of 2 stores that we are using. One is for our Sunday service gathering. The other one you can imagine almost like a kind of coffee shop where we have parents-child meetings and a few other things going on. Yeah, and we are pretty involved just in things that is going on in our neighborhood. Like, for example, beginning with the spring or Christmas time, there a lot of shops are just opening their doors, doing kind of special things. And we are just participating in that and showing us as Christians. And sometimes people are going or passing us and, is that a church? And often I say, well, yes and no, because church is not a building, right? So, but they imagine always what they have in mind is church is, you know, a big church with a, what is it called, like a tower or something, you know? And we say, okay, hey, church is like a community, you know? So this is our Sunday service, and this is a baptism I would like to share. Like, we had it like beginning of June, and that guy on the right side, that's a typical story. So he, then it's a typical story, not topical. So he, but he grew up very common without any, like, being in touch with any kind of Christians and so on, and never attended to a church. And then his best friend became a believer 7 or 6 years ago. And he attended at that baptism, was kind of, hey, if it's good for him, it's like, then I'm not against it, kind of. But he has always like kind of a sense of there must be more. There must be kind of whatever, you know, a spiritual sense. And he did some kind of research about Buddhism, Hinduism, and some occult things as well. And then he had kind of breath issues. When he fell asleep, he almost lost his air, kind of thing, you know? And one night, he had like the dream that he, because of this, he died, because of losing breath. And then he said, a bright light approached to me, and Jesus came to me and brought him back to life, did a CPR on him, and said, I did that you will become a Christian. And then he got up. Next day, he went to his very best friend, told him that, and you know. And years later, we got to know each other, and I asked him, you know, what's your next step? He said, okay, I want to be part of a church. I want to be baptized. And so we did some lectures with him and so on. And guess what? After that dream where Jesus like brought him back to life, and he accepted to be himself a Christian, his breath issues stopped after that night. Yeah, and if you... So, and we are also like connected with other church plants in Germany. Louise just shared, you know, we prayed for West Germany, like an area where around 5 to 7 million people are living and very less churches are, and also for East Germany. So, and we are very glad that in every those regions, like, we have church plans going on with Multiply and other things that is really a thing we are grateful for. So we are involved in helping the church planting teams are like equipped, and we're offering kind of a learning community style for them. And we are also like involved in TREK. It means like it's a mission training program from Multiply. We established that also in Europe. Maybe, still besides all those wonderful things we experienced, there were also times where nothing happened, where we were wondering, God, where are you? What are you doing? There were years after years where nobody from our neighbors or friends in Magdeburg like wanted to know more about Jesus. Where I am asking myself, God, where are you? When I look around with all the things that are going on in the world, you might feel the same as I do and wondering, where is God today? And if in this struggle, in this search, in this longing for more, I see that when I look on Jesus, one like main verse that stood out to me is from 1 John chapter 5. My Father is always at his work to this very day. I too am working. And I have 5 points how we can see and experience more of what God is doing. Before Jesus said this sentence, there was an important scene, the healing at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus goes to the pool where legendary things happen. Water stirs, people are healed, but not everyone. Many who are sick, many who are suffering, many who are hoping. And in the midst of that crowd, Jesus sees the one. Not the crowd, not the system, not the spectacular things, that one person. And he approached to that person, turns to that person and asked, "Do you want to be healed?" What a ridiculous question, you might think, right? At that place, with so many where it's obviously that healing is needed, Jesus is asking that person, "Do you want to be healed?" But Jesus doesn't overload what he can give. He doesn't force it upon that person. He asks, he sees, he turns towards him, not as an object to be healed, not as an object to be converted, not as another check mark on kind of the list of how many people were healed. He seeks out to this one in response to a longing, to a need. God sees humanity. And God has been searching from the very beginning. When we look on the first pages of the Bible, we see a God who is always on search. He lived together, Adam and Eve, in a way I can only imagine how they were together at the Garden Eden. And then, you know, the fall came, the doubt came. Did God really say? And humanity lost its connection to God. Being kind of disconnected. Life together, life in this world, life with God was no longer than it was designed. And here too, also, the man wanted more, but not from God, rather from itself, from the outside. And what does God do? Did he say, "It was your choice, go be free"? No, he does what love does. The first question we have in the Bible is, "Adam, where are you?" God is always on search. God is seeking. God is asking, "What do you want?" And we can be on the search for more and ask God, what are you inviting us?" And that is actually that what mission means, to be more when we want more of God, joining God in what he is doing, to focus not on everything, we can be overwhelmed from so many distress and bad things that are happening in our neighborhood, in our lives, in our area. But Jesus is inviting us, what is God doing? And if you want to have more of God, just join him in what he's actually doing. So that's the first point. When we want to have more of God in our life, let us join him in what he's doing. You know, when we moved to Magdeburg, we were always that verse and that mindset. I try to remind myself every day, God, here are people, you know, I'm not the first one who is reaching out to them. But they are for sure people who were already seeking you. Let me find them. And then, you know, Gabriel is, our son loves soccer for sure, you know, and he became a member of a local soccer club. And then we had kind of a soccer camp, kind of a weekend retreat. Anyways, and then we had a barbecue. And then, you know, in the first years, we always just shared and asked the people around, "Tell me a little bit about yourself, about your city, about your neighborhood. What can I learn, you know, from what is a typical Magdeburger citizen looks like," and so on, you know. And then they for sure sometimes asked, what is your goal? Why did you move to this, from their side, not beautiful city maybe, but they are actually proud of their city. But anyways, and then I approached that guy and got to know him, And he grew up in our neighborhood, lived in Magdeburg, never attended a service, never in his life. He was 45 years back then. Never attended at a service. Didn't know any clue. Yeah, just as an example. So I started later reading with that by a guy, the Bible, Luke chapter 1, you know, where the priest Zechariah, you know, an angel appears to him anyways. And then he asked me, that priest, was he Protestant or Catholic? You know, and I also had to laugh, kind of. But that was like the, you know, he had no clue about anything. But still he shared. There was a night when he was younger where he had a like bad season in his life, and he sensed there must be a God. He looked up to the stars and sensed like there must be a God, but know nothing. And then we got to know each other. And now, every 2 weeks, we sit together at our kitchen table and they are just reading the Bible. God prepared him. God did something, and we can join him. Next thing is later another verse in what Jesus said. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. More of God means sharing what God is doing in your life. To be on mission, to be with God, is not a performance. Is kind of a resonance. So what God is doing something with us. Sometimes I grew up with the mind shift of I have to work hard. You know, as a Christian, you have to be a servant. You have to be, you know, when everything, whatever is going on in the church, you should be, you know, go and help. And that's a very good thing. But more of God means who God is and what he does in our lives, and to experience that and to share that and to find your own words. Not the words of the pastor, not the words of my parents, not the words from my youth pastor or whatever, to find my own words to describe what is God doing in my life. You know, we have our own words, our own ideas for everything. If you are more on the iOS, Apple side or Android thing, or you are compared to Germany, if you're more cheering for Dortmund or for Bayern Munich, or today if you're cheering more for Argentina or for Spain, for everything, or if you look on your cars, you are cheering more from, I know Harold, back in the days he had a Ford, right? Yeah. Anyways, Ford or GMC or whatever. We have always like our arguments and ideas for things in life, why we are on this side. But sometimes when it comes to God, it's like, well, he's nice. That's it. When we want to have more of God, we need to see and find our own words. Why is Jesus the best thing that could ever happen to you, because it happened to me? Why is he the best in my life? And to see that, we see on Jesus how he described it. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. More of God, realizing how much God loves you. There's a very key scene in the movie Good Will Hunting. Maybe you know that movie. There's a young name named Will who's highly gifted but works only as a janitor. Because he got involved in a fight, he's supposed to go to prison. But he gets a deal, therapy instead of prison. In therapy, he works through his past, and it becomes clear that he was abused as a child, which has left him with major issues regarding trust, relationship, self-worth. Near the end of the movie, the therapist approached him and says, Will, it's not your fault. And he said, yeah, I know. No, you don't know. Will, it's not your fault. Huh? What do you want from me? I know. Will, it's not your fault. I know. Will, it's not your fault. And again, and over, until the end, he burst into tears. The walls he has built up around his heart pulled down, and all the pain and all the grief pulled out, opens his heart. Do you know how much God loves you? Maybe we will say very quickly, yes, I know. I grew up in a Christian family. You know, I was taught that God loves me as right from the beginning when I was a baby. Do you know how God loves you? I cannot take that for granted. I cannot take it any credit for that God loves me. And when I started to seek my neighbor, then I realized that's not normal. It's not something I can take for granted. I saw it with my very best friend. He's from a Kurdish background. We became friends. And I shared with him just what I believed, read the Bible with him a couple of times. And it ended that he became a Christian. But in that culture, it's not allowed. And his family was well known in that culture and with the relatives. And then suddenly his mother and also sisters, they found out that he became a Christian. They approached me and said, Wally, it's good for you, but that's not going to happen. You will not become a Christian. That doesn't work, you know. And for that culture, family is everything. And later then his dad approached to him and said, Jamil, my son, you need to apologize during the next 2 weeks or you will see. In the shame-based culture, you don't say what you were going to do. You know, and Jamil, my very best friend, didn't grow up as a Christian. But he realized how God loves him. So he packed his clothes in the bag, threw that bag over a balcony, and we stand on the ground, and then we brought him to another place where the family didn't know where he was going. He just said them goodbye without knowing if he will ever see them again, because he knows how much God loves him. If we want to have more of God, we need to realize how much he loves us. And how we can do that? I think one thing that makes our society in the most to panic the fastest is that when you look on your cell phone and see you don't have the signal, right? When you are losing connection. You know, when you are like us last week, somewhere in the mountain, you don't have connection. Maybe our kids were always like, will a black bear approach to us, you know, kind of thing, and we don't have connection. Our society goes kind of to panic kind of with this, like the fastest, you know. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, leading us to the Father. But if you are already a Christian and you walk this path, but sometimes we stop doing the path, walking the path, doing our journey as a Christian towards the Father. Jesus reminds us that when we want to have more of God, we keep the presence. We need to seek the presence of God in our life, in our everyday life. When we do that, then I know how much he loves us. Then I can listen to his voice and see where he is already at work. And what happens when we stay close to him? When God is at work, when love transforms our hearts, and we stay connected, then something becomes visible. Last point. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed. When we realize how much God loves this world, how he much loves you, then we will follow him toward our neighbor. We can be his eyes, his hands, and see our neighbor as God sees him, not as an object, not as a check mark kind of on a conversion list or whatever, but a person whom God loves and who has given himself for him. As church, we are collectively called to make the invisible Christ visible in this world. Mission means making visible what God is doing in your life. We often say Magdeburg because they don't know any Christian. Before they can trust Jesus, they need to trust you. They need to see and understand through you who God is and what he's doing in your life. Through this, the invisible Christ in our world becomes visible to people, and it can lead them to seek, to ask questions. God is still at work today. God sees you as you are, and God loves you, and God wants that you are close to him. And God wants and is inviting us to be, make him visible in this world. Amen.
Thank you so much, Waldy. I'm going to take some time to pray for Waldy and Louisa. And also, just a reminder that there are prayer cards in the back. Make sure you grab them. Put them on your... learn German as well. You can pray in tongues by simply saying their names. So let's pray. God, thank you for Waldy. Thank you for his word for us. Thank you for Louisa. Thank you for her, the way she was able to communicate what you are doing in their lives and their family's life. Thank you for her listening voice, both her and Waldy. Thank you for the encouragement. Who would have thought 8 years ago, and now here we are. Thank you for the connection that they also have with Alex and Carla. Thank you for our little church's presence in this, but also thank you for these words that he has for us today. Pray that you do a work and a will in our, and grant them traveling mercies on their way back home. And we pray for another few friends that would be sitting around that kitchen table with Waldy and Louisa, learning about how much God loves them. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.